Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This morning, we had an open heaven in this place for the first service as well, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. We need to shake up the norm. Not get stuck in a rut. Amen. Not get stuck in a rut. His presence is our priority. If His presence is our priority, we need to make sure that we are going after His presence. But this morning, I want to share quickly. I have a full message. Here it is. Many pages. Many, many pages. But I really feel that we need to just hone in on a couple of things. And I shared it in the first service, and I want to share it here. Is that this book is filled with promises. Malachi is our scripture. And Malachi says to us, I thought I had the right one open here, Josh, but I don't, as usual. Just love it. Let's open the right one. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Let me just squelch what you're thinking. This is not about tithes and offerings. It's about an open heaven. It's about open heaven. It says there, bring the whole tithe. That's your condition. And the result of you bringing your full tithe is that He will throw open the wind, the floodgates of heaven, and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it all. He is a God of abundance. Last week, I taught about the open heaven, that when Jesus was baptized and He came up, the heavens opened and the dove descended. Nowhere in my Bible does it tell me that the heavens closed afterwards. We live under an open heaven. We live within an open heaven. But however, you see, there are responsibilities that lie with us. Can we get this to Chewy, please? There are responsibilities that lie within us. And these responsibilities are that you and I have to, we have to partner with God. You see, the keys to unlocking all that is in this open heaven are embedded in our response to God's call. Throughout Scripture, throughout the Bible, we are called to a response. Let me explain. You see, we cannot see God, can we? We cannot see God. Some people have seen God, but I have not seen God. We haven't got a tangible physical person that we can see. However, in faith, we love Him. In faith, we believe in Him. In faith, we worship Him. In faith, we give to Him. So therefore, I ask the question, how our walk with an unseen God as believers rests on what? It rests on a foundation of His promises in the Word of God. In this Word, there are unconditional promises and conditional promises. And unconditional promises where God comes with no conditions. Like in Genesis 9:11, and He says, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all my life be destroyed. Will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood? Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. This is a promise, an unconditional promise from God. Romans 8:38-39, God promises that nothing in all creation can separate us from His love. It's unconditional. There is nothing in this world that can separate us from His love. Then we get the conditional ones, the conditional promises. And these are the promises where there is a then, an if, and a then. James 1, 5 verses 2, 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, then you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The conditions are this: ask in faith without doubting him, and the result is he will give it generously. Matthew 6, 33, another promise. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. What are the conditions? It's to seek the first, the God's kingdom, and to live righteously. And the result is everything we need will be provided. This is a promise in the scriptures. Romans 10 verse 9 tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and we believe that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. The if and the then, the conditional promises. It's a double whammy, this one. Confess with your mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, and the result is you will be saved. Revelation 3 verse 20. The next one says that Christ is standing at the door of our life's door knocking, and if we open the door, he will come in and have relationship with us. What do we have to do? We have to open the door. Because when he is knocking, does he want to come in? Somebody who knocks wants to come in. Amen? He is knocking. He wants to come in. Your condition is you have to open the door for him, and then he will come in and have relationship with you. What am I saying? I am saying we have access to an open heaven, and we have access to all its goodness. However, to have access to these good things, you and I play a role in seeing them released, in seeing them manifested. The conditions are you must satisfy the requirements he sets. It's also important to remember the fulfillment of the promise of any promise is certain, but his timing is in his hands. That's where we fall short. As soon as the answer is a little bit late, we think, oh, he's forgotten about us. As soon as the answer is a little bit delayed, we think, oh, he doesn't answer prayer. As soon as the answer is a little bit late, oh, who's this God that makes these promises and never does anything about them? No. He's a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. He never changes his mind. My biggest thing is when somebody comes to me one day and says, oh, God says to me, I need to do sound. And then tomorrow comes and says, no, God says to me, I need to be on the welcome team. God's not a God of confusion. It's either this or that. He has a plan for you. You have to find out where it is that he wants you to be, not the desires of your heart where you want to be. You see, because it's important to remember the fulfillment of a promise is certain, but the timing is always in the Lord's hands. It's in his hands. 1 + 1 = one person went to school. 1 + 1 = 2. It equals 2. That is correct. You know what is the prophetic significance of 2? 2 actually means open doors. Are we talking about an open heaven? 2 is the significance of 2 prophetically is it's double doors it opens. In other words, it's an abundance. The significance of 2 is the assurance of his promises. I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. Go and look at the prophetic meaning of 2. This is true. And then 2 signifies keys to the kingdom. This is important today. Did you hear that? Keys to the kingdom. You see, promises of God plus you equals keys to the kingdom. He's kept his bit. They're here. Are we keeping our bit? Are we keeping our bit? You see, biblical scholars say there's about 8,810 promises in the Bible. I didn't count them. Biblical scholars have put that on Google. Easy. Of that, 7,487 are made by God for you. So 7,487 promises in this word are for you. Promises for you. And each promise, 1 + 1 = 2, each promise is a key to another part of His kingdom. We have an open heaven. It's an invitation to God's place and space. When the doors open, you are invited to come in. When the doors close and locked, you can't go in because there's no entry. There's a barrier between. But when the doors open, you're invited. You are invited into heaven. You are invited into His space and into His place. And a promise is a key in that space and place to another treasure trove. Every single one of His promises is a treasure trove. It unlocks some goodness about God. It unlocks something that He wants to release within us. You see, keys often symbolize authority. I've got keys to this place, to the school. I've got authority. I can come in and go as I want to come in and go. Keys give me access to this place. Keys give me control to this place. Keys are symbolic for us. And these keys have been entrusted to you and I as believers. Go and read Isaiah 22, 22. Isaiah 22, 22. Two twos, two twos. I will place on His shoulder the key to the house of David, which He opens. No one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. In other words, God gives His people authority to open doors and to close doors, to open access, grant access, and to deny access. Well, that's Old Testament, JJ. All right, let's look at the New Testament. New Testament is in Matthew 16, 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I wrote this. There it is, scripture quote. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are these keys? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God does not just give you an open heaven to tantalize you and say, here, look, see, but don't touch. He doesn't do that. That's not the God we serve. We serve an amazing, good God. That's not His nature. He is a good Father. You see, He gives you a bunch of keys in our hands with a bunch of treasure chests and says, knock yourself out. Unlock, 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 unlock My abundance. You have access to His space and His place. And everywhere there's 7,487 of those treasure chests in His space, which you have the key to as soon as you partner with Him and unlock it. This is the God that we serve. He's the God that comes to give a life in abundance. And my question is, why is the majority of believers not living in the abundance that Jesus brought for us? John 10:10 says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come, Jesus speaking, to give life, and that in abundance. My proposal is, we're not unlocking the promises. We're not unlocking the treasure chests that we have access to. Now, there's myriads of them. There's over 7,000 of them. But there's three that I want to highlight in the little bit of time that we have, a little bit of time. Bear with me. Three things that I think are foundational, are key in opening these treasure chests. The first is obedience. Obedience is something tough, but it's something we call to. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 2. If you fully obey, not half obey, fully obey. If you've got your Bible open, underline that word fully. Go and look up what it means in the other language. It means fully. Fully. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. He says it twice, which means take note. What's the word? Obey. Obedience is simply not doing what God says when it's convenient. It's a full commitment. It's an immediate commitment. It's a commitment without question. Obedience is trusting that He is good and He has the goodest plan for my life. And all the English teachers are like, what? He needs to go back to school. He has the goodest, the best, the most amazing plans for your life. He has. Because he's a good father. He is goodness in himself. I preached that the very first time in September. I think it was September the 1st on Father's Day. Go and listen to the message. He has the best plans. But I want to strongly suggest this morning that obedience is the foundational key that positions us to walk consistently under an open heaven. Obedience. Why? Because if he says give, it is the obedience of the condition that unlocks the treasure trove of heaven. If he says love unconditionally, it is the obedience of the condition, which is love unconditionally, that unlocks the treasure trove of results. 1 John 14:9 says, by loving unconditionally, we reflect God's nature. 1 Peter 4:8 says, unconditional love brings unity and covers all sin. What is the fruit? Unity and covering all sin. What do you have to do? Love unconditionally. That's the condition. Galatians 5:22, unconditional love is evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. What is the fruit? Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. What do you have to do? Love unconditional. You're getting the idea. Yeah. So you see, when Abraham obeyed God's call to sacrifice his son Isaac, his obedience unlocked a blessing so great, so vast, that it extended through the generations right up until today. Do you know that you and I are sitting in the blessing of Abraham? Do you realize that God released then, we are walking in today? But if he hadn't have been obedient back then, where would we have been? Here's a question. Man, I'm on fire now. The question is this. What will your obedience unlock for the next generation? What will your obedience unlock for generations and generations and generations to come? Not only the next generation, the young ones. I'm talking about when we're not even on this earth anymore. I'm talking about my great, great, great grandbaby's generation. Your obedience, like Abraham, could unlock just something. Just something. Obedience. Second one. Repentance. Acts 3:19, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I love the scripture. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing. That's how good this God that we serve is. You see, he wants you to repent. He wants you to turn around and walk towards him so that he can release the time of refreshing upon your life. What is the time of refreshing? It is locked in over 7,000 promises in the Word. 7,000 promises. Turn, repent. Let your sins be wiped away. What is sin? Sin is any thought, any word, any action that goes against God's will and his perfect standard of holiness. That's what sin is. It can be a thought. It can be a word. It can be an action. It's that inclusive. It's not the one or the other. It's all of them. So you could have a bad thought, right? Like, JJ, you are irritating me. That's a sin. I'm kidding. You could right now be thinking of what you said or what an action you took in this week, which the Holy Spirit is talking about to you right now. And that is something you need to repent of. We need to be repentant always. What does sin do? Sin separates us from God. Sin creates a barrier between me and God. What creates the barrier? God, because he does want nothing to do with me? No, he's a good God. It's my choice of doing what I did that creates that barrier. Adam and Eve. It was the choice of her eating the fruit that created the separation, and they were removed from the garden. You getting this? It's our choice. Our choice. It's not God who does this. He's a good God. But he says, repent, turn to me. When you stuff up, come back to me so that I can release the refreshing and just shower it down upon you. Come on. David, in Psalm 51, go and read it. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. If you want to think, go hear about repentance, go read about repentance, read about David in Psalm 51. But I want to highlight verse 2. Forgive the full extent of my rebellious ways. The full extent of my rebellious ways. And erase this deep stain on my conscience. You see, repentance is not just about feeling remorse. It's about turning to God. It's about turning. He's a good God. Are there areas in your life right now where repentance is needed? Are there barriers between you and God because of choices, your thoughts you've made, actions you've made, words you've spoken? Because those barriers need to come down. What we had down here was barriers coming down. What was it about? It was about the fact that we were believing a lie that God is not a provider. We needed a word from Dom, God to speak to Dom about acceleration, that he's a God of promises and he wants to bring the promises and he wants to accelerate the promises. And we want to hear the acceleration and we want to hear that he wants to give the promises. But we have a condition. What is the condition? Repent. What did we have to repent of, JJ? The fact that we believe the lie that he is not our provider. That is the biggest lie that the enemy has on us. I repent of that every single day. Because as soon as I start thinking he's not a provider, what am I taking on? I'm taking on an orphan mentality. I'm taking on an orphan spirit. But I'm not an orphan. I am a son of the Most High God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. Therefore, I should be going, no, no, no. My God provides no matter. I'll give you an example. 2 weeks ago, I'm with the students of Newman School of the Spirit. Anybody here want to do Newman School of the Spirit? Come and speak to me afterwards. Just a quick plug. Doesn't matter if you're old, young, whatever, come. But I'm in the Newman School of the Spirit and we're talking about Bangkok. They're going on a mission trip. And I say, in that moment, I say, yeah, I think I'd like to come with you guys to Newman School, to Bangkok on the mission trip. Guess what happens? The whole class erupts. I'm like, okay, that was a bit awkward. So, I use the clause, but God will have to provide. That's a good way out, eh? But God will have to provide. Guess what? I walk out of the classroom. I go and sit with somebody. I share this testimony. This person gets a message. In that moment that gets the message, goes, what? I think God's just provided for your mission trip. I'm not even talking 10 minutes. Why did that happen? Because I acknowledge that he's my provider. Which brings you to my next point, which is worship. You see, worship says in John 4:23, and we talked about this in August, go and listen to the message, yet a time is coming and time is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are kind of worshipers the Father is seeking. Worship is more than just singing songs and playing music. Worship is a lifestyle of obedience. It's a lifestyle of adoration and surrender to the Most High God. That is worship. Worship creates an atmosphere where God's presence filled comes and dwells. And where God dwells, the treasures of heaven are released. How was that worship, JJ? That was worship because in that time when I said that he is my provider, I worshiped him as my provider. I didn't have this beautiful music playing in the background when I said that. I was actually sitting in a cafe with my legs folded and I flippantly said, well, God's got to provide. And boom. You see, that's again a key because the scripture says that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that provides. He says it. I say it. He is my provider. Goop. Unlocks and he provides. Let's stop overcomplicating the scriptures. When I say he's a simple God, I'm not saying he's simple. He is very intense. But he just wants you to come to him as a child will come to his papa and say, "Papa, can I have a lolly?" It's as easy as that. Worship. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Your heart cannot be split in two. Your heart cannot be split in two. You have. You cannot go after God on a Sunday and then go after wealth and power and position and accolades and personal desires on a Monday to a Saturday. It's God or it's the other stuff. It's one or the other. It cannot be both at the same time. Where are we at, church? Where are we at? I'm speaking to myself. Where are you at? Are you worshiping in your entirety? God, these finances are yours. My health is yours. My family is yours. My relationship is yours. My children are yours. Everything that I have is yours. Are we there? That's what I want us to, that's where I want Yuma East to be, is there. I conclude with this. We have access to God's kingdom. We have access to his space and his place. It's not a random occurrence. It is a life of fully surrenderedness to God. But we have to dedicate ourselves to obedience and to repentance and to worship and to join in with the other 7,000 odd promises. 1 + 1 = 2. Partnering with God and unlocking the treasure chest. You might go, "JJ, my faith is not there yet." You know what? There's times that I believe and God's got to help me in my unbelief. This woman, she doesn't even know it. Dominique this morning, when she turned to me and said, "Pastor JJ, I even believe that for this building there's going to be an acceleration." Guess what? That was her stirring my faith. That was a kiss from heaven. That is something that I needed to hear. That is the good God that we serve. He meets you right there at the spade in front of the congregation. Here I am. I nearly started bawling my eyes out. Because I said to him, "God, I'm tired. These guys are tired of setting up and packing down, setting up and packing down, setting up and packing down. We want to get into our building." Did I hear your amen? Here's my challenge, and I close. Can we have the lights a little bit dimmer, please? And then Dom's going to come up and she's going to wrap it all up quickly. But here's, by the way, next week, she's going to say this, but I'm going to say this so you can hear it twice. Next week, we will only have one service, spring holidays for our kids. One service, 9 o'clock. Come and join us at 9 o'clock. Plenty of space here. But I want to say this. This is our challenge. God is inviting you, and you, and you, and you, and you, Carl, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, Paulina, and Jez, and me, and Tim, and the team of it. God is inviting each and every single one of us to step into his divine flow of abundance. His divine flow of abundance. What do you need to do to unlock? What do you need to work on? Is it obedience? Is it repentance? Is there something you need to repent of? Is it worship? What is it? What is it that you need to do? You've got to ask him. That's your homework. But here's my challenge for us as a family. He wants us to step into his divine flow of abundance. Do you want to step into his divine flow of abundance? Do you want to see the favor flood like a waterfall continuously, in season, out of season? You see, because when a waterfall flows, it gets rid of all the gunk, all the sediment, all the old leaves, all the old trunks. Do you want to see the waterfall of God flow continuously? That's what I'm talking about. Stepping into the divine flow. Don't know if ever any one of you have ever stood under a waterfall. I have. I thought I was going to break my neck. Because the power of that water that came down was unbelievably strong. The floodgates of heaven. I see that hand. I release that. The floodgates of heaven. That's what he wants to release. The divine flow. If you want to step with me into that, I want you to stand in right now. Because I'm going to release this. I believe you're going to see miracles like you have not seen miracles before. But here's the disclaimer. Here's the disclaimer. JJ is going to unlock a treasure chest. But you personally have to continue unlocking the other 7,447 of them. Have we got an agreement? Paolo? You have to. How do you do it? You fulfill the condition. It's easy. It's in the scripture with every promise. And it's easy nowadays. Google 7,487 promises of God. Spill them out and print them. You'll have them. If I had to preach on them, I worked out it's going to take me. If I had to preach one a week, it'll take me 149 years to preach on them. Can you imagine? Yeah, extend my years. I don't know. I don't know about that. All right, let's open up our hands. Whew. Tim, you are anointed. A little bit of drums in the background there. That would be great. A little bit of a wash. Come and wash over us, Lord. Come and wash over us, Lord. Come and wash over us, Lord. Let's go guitars. Let's just include. Come and wash over us. Come and wash over us. Father, right now I come and I open the floodgates. I open the floodgates in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that your word says that you are a God of abundance and that you want to release abundance. I declare John 10:10 that Jesus came to bring us a life and that in abundance. And right now, I release the abundance on every single person in this place. I release from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, Father God, that as they take the keys that are given to them in the Word, that they will unlock every single promise that you have given them. I thank you, Father God, that you'll give them the tenacity to push in. You'll give them the obedience, Lord God, to step forward, Father God, and at their times of repentance, that we will get on our knees, Lord God, and we will humble ourselves before you, and we will cry out, Lord, forgive us, Lord, forgive us. Father, I stand in the gap this morning, and I say, forgive us. Forgive the church for just doing things in our own strength. Forgive us, Lord God. We want to see the divine flow, your divine flow, move continuously, Father God, and may we rise up and may we worship you in spirit. May we worship you in truth. May we have a lifestyle of adoration, a lifestyle. It's not just in our tithes. It's not just in our giving. No, Lord God, it is in our whole life. May we worship you, Lord, with everything that we have. Father God, thank you for the open heaven. Thank you for the open heaven over us. Thank you for the open heaven over us, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for every treasure chest that you have given us. 7,000 plus, Lord, of treasure chests. Father, we're going to be busy. We are going to be busy, Lord. We are going to be busy unlocking. I pray that we will unlock each and every single one of them. I thank you, Father God, for the testimonies as already been preached, Lord God, that there will be testimonies of your goodness and your favor in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Lay your hand on your heart and just say this, I receive this for myself. I receive this for myself. Lay your hand on your neighbor and say, Lord, I release this upon each of my neighbors in Jesus' mighty name. And then let's give God a massive praise offering in Jesus' mighty name. Thanks, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.